Hi, this is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. We'll begin our reading on the front page. Serving others, student club works to better community via literacy. The COVID-19 pandemic slowed, but hasn't stopped, a new student club at Bloomington High School, dedicated to improving the community through service. I'm saying service intentionally, because it's not just volunteering. The whole idea of service is making a permanent change in the community you're serving, and a change within yourself, said Brandon Thornton, a special education teacher who is advisor to Club Alternative Breaks, or Club AB for short. The students have chosen access to literacy as their focus this school year. Club AB began organizing in the spring with help from Illinois State University students. It is modeled after ISU's Alternative Breaks program, which gives students opportunities to enact social change during their spring, summer, and winter breaks and on weekends. The plan is for Club AB to do projects in the community during holidays, weekends, and other breaks in the school year. While put on hold during the pandemic, Thornton said the club has reinvented itself to focus on smaller projects. I did alternative breaks at ISU, and it changed my whole perspective, said Thornton. It's normally at the college level. We're trying to be one of the first high schools in Illinois to do this at the high school level, said Thornton. For its kickoff event on Monday, members of the club installed a little free library outside Irving Elementary School at 602 West Jackson Street and filled it with books for both children and adults. It increases access to reading material for kids and our neighbors too, said Irving principal Messina Lambert. Although the school has a library, the little library is open all the time. And it, the book, is theirs to keep, or swap it on their own time, she said. The club plans to install about 5 little libraries across West Bloomington, calling them Raider Resource Boxes, to stress the issue of access to literacy, said Thornton. The club is also looking into access to literacy for McLean County Jail inmates, not only for the inmates themselves, but for the inmates to read to their children, said Thornton. Reading is a big part of our education, said sophomore Caitlin Mitchell, explaining why literacy was chosen as the club's focus. Senior Salvador Rodriguez said he became involved in the club because I wanted to get more involved in the community and do something that would work with my schedule. As they sorted through books, organizing them on the 2 shelves in the little library, the students had fun recalling books they liked or books they think neighborhood residents will like. Tess Halperin said, as a freshman, the club is a way for her to meet people, but also I can carry on what we do. Zavin Dadkian, a sophomore, said, I don't know what the future holds. Right now, I think there's a lot to do for the betterment of the community. Club AB is supported through part of a $2,000 Youth Engaged in Philanthropy grant awarded by Illinois Prairie Community Foundation to the Bloomington High School Promise Council for Lights On at BHS, an initiative intended to engage, empower, and educate Bloomington High School students to make changes in their lives and the world around them. 5 more die in Central Illinois. 5 more Central Illinoisans, 3 in McLean County and 1 each in Woodford and DeWitt counties, have died of COVID-19, public health officials confirmed on Tuesday. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported that two women, one in her 50s and one in her 90s, and a man in his 60s had died, bringing to 30 the number of coronavirus deaths in McLean County since March. Two of the deaths are associated with long-term care facilities, said McKnight, who did not identify the facilities. She confirmed Friday that there was a resurgence in outbreaks at long-term care facilities. McKnight did not say whether the three people had underlying medical conditions. The deaths mean that four McLean County residents have died of the virus so far this week. Three residents died last week. Meanwhile, Woodford County reported its ninth COVID fatality. The patient was a man in his 90s with comorbidities, meaning he had more than one disease or medical condition, said Andrea Ingberson, Woodford County Health Department Public Information Officer. The man was associated with a long-term care facility, she said. Illinois Department of Public Health reported that a DeWitt County man in his 70s had died. David Remmert, administrator of the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department, had no further information on the fatality on Tuesday. In McLean County, McKnight also reported 42 new COVID cases, meaning 159 people have tested positive so far this week, and 3,700 since March 19th. The total includes 298 people isolating at home, 23 more than on Monday, 8 hospitalized, 1 fewer than on Monday, with none in intensive care units, and 3,364 recovered, 17 more than on Monday. The county's 7-day positivity rate, the percentage of COVID tests that have come back positive in the past week, was 3.9%, compared with 4% on Monday. Of 84,200 tests conducted in the county since March, 4.4% have come back positive, McKnight reported. That's unchanged from the day before. At Illinois State University in the past 7 days, there have been 1,242 student tests on campus, with 22 coming back positive, for a positivity rate of 1.8%. Since testing began on campus on August 17th, of 12,006 student tests, 1,380 have tested positive for COVID, for a positivity rate of 11%. That number has been declining gradually for about a month. ISU also reported that 1,358 students have recovered from the virus. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Ford County Public Health Department reported 38 new cases, including 26 related to an outbreak at Piper City Rehab and Living Center in Piper City, said Danielle Walls, that health department's community health educator. Ford County has had 150 confirmed cases of the virus, she said. Livingston County Health Department reported 21 new cases, including one inmate at Pontiac Correctional Center. That means 507 Livingston County residents have been diagnosed with the virus since March, said Aaron Fogarty, that health department's health education and marketing director. LaSalle County reported 21 new cases to bring their total to 2,018, and Logan County had 7 new cases, meaning it has had 518 cases since the outbreak began. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health reported 2,851 new COVID cases and 29 additional deaths, meaning 324,743 Illinoisans have had the virus this year and 9,026 have died. The statewide positivity rate for cases as a percent of tests for the past week is 4.5%, IDPH said. As of Monday night, 1,848 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID. 406 were in intensive care units. At the McLean County Fairgrounds COVID-19 testing site, operated by Reditus Laboratories, 668 people were tested on Monday, McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported on Tuesday. That testing site is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays and during severe weather. People may pre-register at testdirectly.com/McLean. It's important to remember that even young, healthy individuals can have complications from the virus, and some may even need to be hospitalized, McKnight said. People at any age with certain underlying medical conditions are at increased risk for severe illnesses from COVID-19. Recovery isn't the same for everyone, McKnight continued. While the median recovery time is up to 2 weeks for people with mild cases, people with severe cases may take up to 6 weeks for their symptoms to resolve. McKnight reported that people should reduce their risk of spreading the disease by wearing cloth face coverings in public and when around people who don't live in their household, and to stay 6 feet away from people not in their household. People who test positive for COVID will be contacted by case investigators with the health department. It is important that case investigators can quickly locate and talk with the patients, assist in arranging for them to isolate themselves, and work to identify people with whom they have been in close contact so the contact tracer can locate them, McKnight said. Identifying contacts and ensuring they do not interact with others is critical in protecting communities from further spread. The following COVID-19 case totals and deaths by area since March were reported on Tuesday. McLean, 3,700 cases, 30 deaths. Tazewell, 2,178 cases, 44 deaths. Woodford, 500 cases, 9 deaths. Livingston, 507 cases, 9 deaths. Logan, 518 cases, 5 deaths. LaSalle, 2,018 cases, 58 deaths. DeWitt, 230 cases, 3 deaths. Piatt, 185 cases, 0 deaths. Ford, 150 cases, 6 deaths. Marshall, 127 cases, 1 death. Champaign, 5,331 cases, 27 deaths. ISU expects $46.2 million in COVID-19 costs. Illinois State University anticipates overall costs related to the COVID-19 pandemic to be close to $46.2 million in the current fiscal year that began July 1st. Dan Stevens, Vice President for Finance and Planning, said about $35.6 million of that is lost revenue primarily from housing and dining, which is projected to see a $32.9 million revenue decrease. Of the $14.6 million in expenses tied to the pandemic in fiscal year 2021, testing costs are estimated to be around $9 million, he said. Another $1.5 million is attributed to information technology expenditures, and $4.1 million to other operational costs. The losses and expenses will be offset by $4 million from the Federal CARES Act, he said. In the interest of safety, the university lowered the density of on-campus housing and gave more leeway to live off-campus to students normally required to live in university housing. That lowered the number of students living in university housing to about 3,000 instead of the usual 6,000, Stevens explained. The biggest expense this fiscal year is testing for the coronavirus. ISU has been very aggressive with its COVID-19 testing, said Stevens. The university contracted with Reditus Laboratories of Pekin to provide on-campus testing of asymptomatic students at a cost of $3 million to $3.5 million. It also is developing a partnership with the University of Illinois SHIELD program to set up a lab in ISU's Science Lab building for processing saliva-based tests. The cost for conducting tests and establishing the lab is estimated at $5 to $5.5 million, said Stevens. Approval of that project is on the agenda for Friday's ISU Board of Trustees meeting. Stevens said the saliva-based tests will yield results in 3 to 5 hours compared to 24 to 48 hours for current testing. The continuing COVID-19 costs come on the heels of the pandemic hitting in spring, causing ISU and other institutions to shut down campus and switch to online learning after spring break. Overall, pandemic-related costs in the previous fiscal year, from July 1, 2019 to June 30, 2020, were about $26 million. That includes $18.2 million in refunds, $9.1 million in lost revenue, and $2.6 million in additional expenses, offset by the $4 million in reimbursement from the Federal CARES Act. Those additional expenses included purchase of computer software and hardware for online learning and extended licenses for Zoom, the online conference platform with which many people are becoming familiar through classes, business meetings, and even meetings of public bodies. Despite the additional expenses and lost revenue, ISU remains in a strong financial position, Stevens said. ISU has been a very conservative university. We've been fiscally prudent, he said. As long as the pandemic doesn't continue in its aggressive way, the university will be okay. ISU has gotten through the pandemic without layoffs, said Stevens. According to a report this week in the Chronicle of Higher Education, 2/3 of college presidents surveyed indicated they had laid off employees, were in the midst of layoffs, or may implement layoffs within the next 12 months. A bright spot for ISU was continued strong enrollment this fall. It didn't have a negative impact on people coming to the university, said Stevens. Enrollment was down less than 1% despite all this. Students were still committed to the university. That speaks volumes to the university's reputation. ISU is seeking reimbursement from the state for testing costs, and Stevens said the leadership team is optimistic that it will be reimbursed if the federal government allocates money for that purpose to the state. The financial figures don't tell the whole story about the university's response to the pandemic, said Stevens. He pointed to the efforts of faculty who quickly pivoted from in-person to online classes mid-semester in spring, and the faculty, staff, and administrators who have been working 6 to 7 days a week since then in planning and adapting to the current situation. The commitment isn't reflected in the dollars, he said. The entire campus community came together to attack this thing. Today's Flick Fact question. Bloomington's David Davis of David Davis Mansion fame was pals with Abraham Lincoln and this newspaper's founder, Jesse Fell, and was a local circuit judge before he came a U.S. Senator and U.S. Supreme Court Justice. All along, he was a lover of local newspapers. Do you know what he said about them? And the answer, according to Newspaperdom, the Journal of Newspaper Publishing, from a speech Davis made, later recounted in the Madera Mercury, the local paper and its editor does more for his own town than any other man. He ought to be supported, not because you happen to like him or admire his writing, but because a local newspaper is the best investment a community can make. It's more benefit than both preacher and teacher. Patronize your home paper, not as a charity, but as an investment. Today is Wednesday, October 14th. It's the 288th day of 2020. We have 78 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on October 14th, 1964, civil rights leader Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was named winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. On this date in 1890, Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th President of the United States, was born in Denison, Texas. In 1933, Nazi Germany announced it was withdrawing from the League of Nations. And in 1939, a German U-boat torpedoed and sank the HMS Royal Oak, a British battleship anchored at Scapa Flow in Scotland. 833 of the more than 1,200 men aboard were killed. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the Pantograph 100 years ago, October 14th, 1920. Former Bloomington Mayor Daniel Foster, 69, died of a stroke. He was elected mayor for 4 terms and later to the city council. Foster was a Civil War veteran. He was also a businessman, having run a horse-drawn bus line in town. He lived at 605 East Mulberry Street. 75 years ago, October 14th, 1945, penny scales, your weight for 1 cent, dot the landscape of downtown Bloomington. They're monitored for accuracy and apparently turn a pretty penny for their owners. They each make about $18 a month from 1,800 visits. 50 years ago, October 14, 1970, Governor Ogilvie named Gordon Ropp acting director of agriculture. Ropp, a farmer who lives near Normal, has been an assistant director since 1969. His boss, John Lewis, was named Secretary of State to fill the vacancy left when Paul Powell died. And 25 years ago, October 14, 1995, Arnie Loeber has sold his well-known restaurant Arnie's to Angelo Padro. The eatery in the Bloomington Airport Terminal has been Arnie's since 1977. Padro had extensive restaurant experience in New York. His wife, Cindy, will be managing the day-to-day operations. Coroner IDs man killed in shooting. No arrests have been announced in the fatal shooting that occurred in the 1600 block of Iowa Street in Bloomington on Monday. McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder said Jalel D. Johnson, 20, of Bloomington, was pronounced dead at 4:31 p.m. Monday at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington from a single gunshot wound to the head. Two other men, a 22-year-old and a 27-year-old, remain in critical condition. Police responded at about 3:30 p.m. and immediately put up police tape near a residence at the northwest corner of the intersection of Iowa and Euclid Avenues in Bloomington. Police spokesman John Furman said the victims were in critical condition. The 22-year-old man was transported to Carl Hospital in Champaign for his injuries, and the 27-year-old man remained in Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal. The incident remains under investigation by the Bloomington Police Department and the McLean County Coroner's Office. Anyone with information about Monday's shooting can call Detective John Heinlein at 309-434-2672. If you wish to remain anonymous, call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 209-828-1111. Bloomington's 5-day weather forecast. Today will be mostly sunny and windy with a high temperature of 76 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy and breezy with a low of 47 degrees. Thursday will be much cooler with chance of showers, temperatures between 57 and 31 degrees. Friday will be partly sunny and cool, again, temperatures between 56 and 36 degrees. Saturday will be rather cloudy and windy. The high is expected to be 63 degrees and the low 45 degrees. And Sunday will be cloudy with showers possible. The high temperature is expected to be 64 degrees and the low 45 degrees. Today you can expect 6 to 10 hours of sunshine with humidity of 50% and excellent drying conditions. We will take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for October 14th, 2020. Please stay tuned.